You turn over to Luke chapter 17. I want to share tonight out of Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, a message dealing with healing. You know, how many tonight will just take hold of the fact that you have to have faith when you come to be healed? You know, faith that God is the healer. Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, and by the stripes that He bore on His back, the Bible declares that we are healed, and also Peter in his writing said that we have been healed. So healing is something that is truly ours. It's something that we can possess, we can embrace, and we can believe that will happen. Now, I've spoken in many, many, many places in my years of preaching, and wherever I've asked this question, there's always been a positive response by many. And that question is, how many have you ever been healed? And people usually raise their hand. They can think back of the time when they were healed, what it was about, how it came about, where it came about, and the beauty of the healing in their life. I can tell you testimonies tonight in my own life of how God had healed me, not only emotionally but physically, how He's touched my life and taken things that were painful from my body and just, they're gone. And it's the Lord. The beauty of it is I didn't have to have a medical card to get it done. I did not have to go ahead and pay a doctor. There wasn't a copay. There wasn't any specifics to it. It was just simply this, that the Lord healed me. And I know that if you were standing right here behind this wooden desk tonight, and if you had to say the same thing, I believe with all my heart that you would be using similar words of how God has healed you and how He's helped you and the memories that you would have of where you have been healed. You know, to tell you how much I believe in God's healing, and I've seen this in my own life, you don't have to be saved to get healed by God. You don't have to be a Christian to be healed by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I will say that it will benefit you of the person who's praying for you to be healed is a believer. And that they pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to heal you. You know, I was healed of a very painful ulcer when I was just a young man. And my mother-in-law asked me to lie on the floor in Stuart, Florida, in her kitchen. And I was not saved. I was not even close to being a Christian at that point. At least in my mind, I wasn't. And I wasn't in Florida to do nice things. I was in Florida to do criminal actions and activities. I was staying at my mother-in-law's house, using that as a base for these criminal activities. But I had an ulcer. And my mother-in-law heard about it, and she came and she asked me to lie down on the floor, asked my permission first if she could pray for me. And of course, when you're in pain and there is a solution to that pain or some way that that pain could be taken from you, you're going to say, by all means, go ahead. And being that I realized that my mother-in-law was a very spiritual woman and a woman who loved Jesus Christ, I questioned in my mind, why do I have to lie down on the floor? Well, in the olden days of time, in the charismatic renewal, and I say olden days of time, back in those late 60s and early 70s when the charismatic renewal broke out, there was just some stuff that was done. Most people would get in a chair and everybody would stand around the chair and everybody would pray for you in the chair. And by the way, I was healed from alcohol that way. In a prayer meeting in Felton, California, where I sat in a chair and they laid hands on me, and I was instantaneously healed from alcohol addiction. But the beauty of this was that I laid down on the floor thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to lay down. And she knelt by me and she laid her hand on my stomach. And, you know, she just prayed a very simple prayer Jesus, this is Dennis, as you know, and he's got an ulcer by his confession of his mouth. And I confess today, Jesus, that you can heal him. Would you please heal Dennis now? And I felt this warmth in my stomach. I can't describe it. I can't tell you where it came from. I just felt a warmth in my stomach. In that moment of time, I was instantaneously healed of an ulcer. And I look back to that day thinking that that was probably one of the pushing points or a turning point in my life to seek out Jesus Christ. And I've never had an ulcer since then. I've never had any problem eating any food or had any ulcer pains at all. And I had already been to the doctor in Santa Cruz, California, in the early 70s to get on this rack and drink this barium and have this rack hold me out and have the rack turn me like around like that so they would be able to look and see it flowing and coat my whole stomach and where the ulcer was. And it's gone. So I'm here tonight to tell you that what I'm speaking in this message tonight, I want you to put yourself in the place of these individuals. Read with me now in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." I want to stop there in these two first verses to kind of express to you that Jesus was always passing through where most people didn't want him to go. And that's where he found you and I, by the way. He was passing through where we were, and we weren't in church. And maybe you were, but I wasn't in church when he got a hold of me. And I wasn't a person that would think for a moment that church was a place to be. As a matter of fact, the same opportunity where I was healed in Florida, I was at a church service that afternoon, but I was outside preparing my mind to finish this criminal activity that I had to do down there. And my wife came running out of that service, crying, saying that she had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. She went into the back room with the youth pastor, and she got baptized with the Holy Spirit. The carnal mind immediately said, "I want to talk to this youth pastor. What's he going into the back room with my wife for? What kind of a game is he trying to pull here?" My wife, of course, being very moral and very, very wonderful and not at all a thought of anything, but this man was doing something that was not right by inviting her. So I told my wife that I'm going inside the church and I'm going to hurt this man. And she started crying even harder, saying, "No, don't go in there." This is at the West Palm Beach Maranatha Church of God, by the way. Large Church of God down there. "And don't go in there." And, you know, so I want to declare to you that Jesus found me later on that afternoon where I really shouldn't have been. And that was in coming back from an airport where several of the DEA agents and other police force were waiting on me to take me to jail and to arrest me. But I came back that evening. And that night I gave my heart to the Lord in a bedroom there in Stuart, Florida, and I've never turned back the other way. So I want to tell you that it's not uncommon to see Jesus Christ going through Samaria to get to Galilee. And it's not uncommon for people who have a need. And this is what I have a problem with today in so many churches. People that have a need are silent before God. Let me say that again to you because you're looking at me a little funny. People that have a need are silent before God. Here's these men that 10 of them were alone. You see, you can be with a group of people and still feel alone. There were 10 lepers. They had wet leprosy. They were contagious. They could not be around anybody else that did not have leprosy. They were separated. They were outside the camp. They had their own little colony. But Jesus was coming by and they yelled out to him. Jesus, Master, recognizing that he was the Master, recognizing that he was the healer. And they yelled out to him, and how in unison they were, I don't know. It could have been several voices out of unison, but in one statement they were saying, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. You know, and what we have to understand is if you have a need, I'm challenging you tonight, don't be silent about your need. Let Jesus know that I have a need. Let him know that you have something you need healed or you need provided for in an area in your life. Something's going on in your life that you need to have Jesus Christ touch or speak to and change. Always remember in Ephesians chapter 3 that he is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Always remember that we can rejoice always. Always remember that we should rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Always remember to bring your prayers and supplications with thanksgiving to God and allow him to know those things. Always remember that we have this opportunity to say to the Lord that we have a need. And if we pray in Jesus' name, Jesus said that the Father will do it. You see, what I'm saying to you tonight, it takes faith to believe that there is a God who will actually pay attention to you. Because the world doesn't not want to pay attention to you, but the world wants to segregate you and keep you from meeting a God who wants to pay all the attention that he possibly has for you, and that's more than you'll ever need. Look at your neighbor tonight and say, I've got God looking at me. And he's just waiting for me to ask for something. He really is. You know, the Bible declares this, and I love this scripture in the book of Hebrews. It's my favorite scripture in the book of Hebrews, by the way, is that we have the boldness, in other words, let us enter boldly into the throne room of grace where we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our time of need. You know, you come in boldly, not sheepishly, not nervously, not timidly, because the Bible said he never gave us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Then we have an opportunity to be able to walk in and to embrace the promises of God and accept what God has said is ours, because by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we have been healed. Let the person who's sick call the elders of the church and let them anoint that person and pray the prayer for healing, and they shall be healed. In Mark chapter 16, it says that we shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. There's never anything like they may be healed. There's never any statement like, well, if God's in the mood, you'll be healed. There's never a statement like that. It's always a statement that God will heal you. Jesus, everyone he laid hands upon, they were healed. He even took someone out of the city because the faith was so low in that city that he had to leave the city to take the person out to lay hands on the eyes twice with spittle and mud to touch those eyes, that those eyes were finally opened up from being blind. He said because there was a lack of faith within Capernaum. Let me tell you something right now, tonight, if I could. God will always react to the level of faith that you bring him. If you believe that he'll heal you, like I did in Stuart, Florida, I was not saved. I was not thinking about God. But I believe so much that my mother-in-law loved Jesus Christ so much that she had some sort of a line to God that I did not have. And I wanted to tap into that line. And lo and behold, because of the simplicity of my belief, I was healed.
Let me take you back to a story that I told you about years ago already, that when I was just a young boy with warts on his left hand, sitting in a bathtub, and my father came into that bathroom, and I did not want to go to school the next day because the warts were there. The kids were making fun of my hand because I had warts on them. I was embarrassed, and I told my dad about it, and he said this. He said, "Dennis, I want you to wash your hand, rinse it, wash your hand, rinse it, wash your hand and rinse it. And on the third time, those warts are going to wash down the drain." That was my father. That's all I knew. That was my father. I was a young boy, 7 years old, in grade school, second grade. And I believed him with all my heart that he said he would do this. I did that. The warts were still there, but I went to sleep that night believing my father told me something and it's going to happen. Now, you may look at me tonight and say, "You're just making this up to kind of build our faith." Let me tell you something right now. When I woke up the next morning, there wasn't a wart on my hand. They were all gone. Now, I don't know how to explain that as a young 7-year-old boy, but I want you to know I went to school that day with my hand up all over the place like that. And I went to school healed and knowing that my father said that this would happen. So I want to take this into the church today and tonight in this opportunity to tell you my father, God the Father, said that he would heal us if we would do exactly what he said we should do. If we would go ahead and respond to him in faith and believe as that simple young boy at 7 years old sitting in bathwater determined not to go to school because he was embarrassed, but his father said, "Here's what I want you to do." Now let's move forward. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. He didn't heal them there. Many of us have been to an altar. Many of us have been to a healing service. Many of us were prayed for and we were healed right there on the spot. But there are people that can tell me tonight that after they were prayed for, nothing really happened. But by the time they got home or the next morning, something had changed in their life and they were healed. Praise God. That he had changed them. And these lepers had walked from Jesus heading to a moment of faith response. Everybody look at their neighbor and say, "I'm heading for a moment of faith response." A faith response to where they literally all of a sudden walking, and maybe they walked away thinking, "I don't know what just happened. He didn't do anything. But he said to go tell the priests that we've been cleansed." And as they were walking, they began to be healed. They began to realize that this leprosy was gone. The skin, which was white and full of a pussy liquid that was wet and very contagious, all of a sudden became whole. There were no scars. There were no marks. And not only that, but emotionally, they were able now to be received back into society. They were able to go home to their families. They were able to see their wives. They were able to see their children. They were able to go into the temple and worship God. They were able to be part of something that was more than just a leper colony with despair, stench, ridicule, criticism, and an outcast sense that they would never be part of society as they once knew it. You see, this is what God has done for you and I. He's taken us from a place to where we were found in sin, found in the darkness of our life, found in despair, where we were literally away from who He is, away from the promises of God, away from the power of God, away from the fellowship of the saints. He found us in our Samaria. He found us in our devastation. He found us in our darkness and our sin. He found us in a place and He reached out for us and He gave us direction and we obeyed and we have been made every which way whole.
Praise God. Would you just worship him for a moment? You've been healed already. You've been healed in your spirit. And God knows how much importance that is to you and to I and to everyone that knows you or knows me or anyone who knows other Christians. How important it is to see a healing happen in someone's life. There's change. There's change physically. There's change spiritually. There's change emotionally. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now listen, and he was a Samaritan.
This man had no idea what it is to worship God as the Jews did. Yes, his father was the father Abraham, and yes, they had their concept of faith and towards God and everything, and they had their hope that there would be this showing up of God on the mountain one day and Father Abraham and everything. And if you want to study that out, you can study that out in John chapter 4. And you can understand what the woman there in the Samaritan village was talking about with him, Jesus, before she was healed. Before she ran back and grabbed a whole city and that whole city came out and was healed. Praise God. But I'm saying to you today that this man was a Samaritan. Now we don't know the faith of the others. We don't know if they were Jewish. We don't know if they were Samaritans. We don't know at all what their faith was or what their actual belief system was at that particular time. But this we do know. They never returned to thank him. We don't even know whether or not they made it to the priests in the sense that they would return and say to him, thank you, Jesus. But this man came and he glorified God. He glorified Jesus Christ. He bowed and worshiped him. And Jesus answered and said, were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I want you to understand tonight, if you will, that Jesus took notice of something that he should take notice always, and he does in your life. When God does something to you or for your family, do you stop and thank him? Do you stop and say, here I am, I glorify you, and I thank you? You see, I was remembering a great pastor by the name of Jack Hayford was teaching one night, and he said this that just triggered me to always remember this story and always remember to take time to praise God. And that was this. He said, many people woke up this morning and they began to ask God for something new. Many people woke up this morning and maybe they began to praise God for what he's about to do. But I wonder how many people woke up this morning and thanked God and praised him for what he did yesterday for you. To take time and to really say, God, thank you. 33 and a half years later, I'm still taking time thanking God that I'm saved. I'm still taking God, thanking him in my heart, taking him into my heart and saying, God, I am so thankful that I'm not a criminal. I am so thankful that I'm heading towards glory and not heading towards hell. I am so thankful that I'm living a life now that I can say to my children and I can say to those that I pastor and I can say to the church that I belong to that I'm living for a God who's real, who saved me and sanctified me and brought me into the kingdom whereby I can say I have been cleansed. He continues to show me his power, continues to show me his love, and continues to show me the purpose and the destiny of my life. Why, I just want to stop for a moment as I'm preaching right now and say, thank you, God. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for what you're doing in my life now. And thank you for being a God that we can count on. Amen. We can count on everything that he said he's going to do. We can count on him. And even as he cleansed the lepers, he cleanses us.
Yeah, he sent you somewhere. He's told you to go somewhere.
He has sent you to turn and go show yourself. I'm not saying any of you have done this, but I've seen this where God has told people to do something, and instead of getting to the destination, they went somewhere else. They didn't complete what God called them to do. Didn't complete in the process of healing that God wanted them to go through. They couldn't return. They couldn't say anything. Jesus criticized the nine, but he commented positively on the one. Somewhere in this message, people stand. Somewhere they're either with the nine that took it for granted, and I'm sure if he said go, I'm sure as they walked, they were all cleansed. I'm not sure whether or not they made it to the priests at this particular time, but I'm saying to you that what happened was that one returned to him to thank him for being established and brought back into society and not to have a disease that could cause them to never be involved again with the worship of God in that day. I look tonight across the church world and I find myself scratching my head, bending my knee in prayer, travailing before God, wondering how come there's not enough praise left in the house again to resound to God. Why we become so performance orientated instead of praise worthy. Why we don't pray anymore, but we're ready to talk anything else out, but we don't talk to God about it. Why we don't sit and literally think for a moment, we're nowhere without God, but with God, we're everywhere. We can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. We forget about our sense of relationship with God did not come because we were worthy of it, but it came because of the grace that God has bestowed upon our life. The unmerited favor to where he looked at us filthy, dirty, needing cleansing. The stench of sin, the aroma of sin coming off our souls and our hearts. Language portraying out of our mouth that is unbecoming. Thoughts saturating our mind that was so far away from God's kingdom and his word that we didn't even realize that it existed. And God said to our heart, I love you. Call upon me this moment and you shall be saved. You shall be cleansed and made whole. And I'll fill you with my Holy Spirit. I'll lead you down paths of righteousness. I'll lead you by still waters. I'll make you lie down in green pastures. And even though you walk to the valley of the shadow of death, you'll not have to fear evil because my rod and my staff will comfort you. Praise God. I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your most harmful enemies. I will anoint your head with oil and your cup shall overflow. Goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in my house forever. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The psalmist in Psalm 27 at the end said, again, I say, wait for God in the land of the living. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got something to praise him for. We've got something that's worthwhile tonight. We've got a king who's alive. And yes, it's the Christmas season and I'm celebrating his birth. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. For you so loved the world that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God forevermore. We shall not perish. We have everlasting life. We've got a story to tell. We've got something that has meaning. And we have a challenge by the Holy Spirit in our life. And that is to give thanks to a God who is worthy of our praise. Worthy for what he's done for us.
worthy that he has reached across the heavenlies and touched us. Worthy because he has stated in our life that he's our God. Worthy because when we couldn't get it done, he got it done for us.
You know, there's no half a chance. I believe this with all my heart. There's no half a chance in life once you meet God. He orders your steps. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. God brought people into your life to bring mercy to you, to bring hope to you, to bring goodness to you, not to bring pain, not to bring anguish, not to bring despair, not to give you a hopeless life, but to give you a life that is full of hope. And the Bible says in Romans in chapter 5 and verse 5 that hope does not disappoint. Praise God. God is our hope tonight. God is our healer. He's our cleanser. He's the one that right now, this very instant, if there's anything going on in your life, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional, he can heal you. He can have you do something that is maybe a little illogical. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Go see the priest. Show him that you're cleansed. He didn't say, be healed. He said, go to the priest and show him that you're cleansed. That sounds a little like God to me. Master, there's a whole armies out there ready to kill us and take us. They're here for you, Master. Go back out and look again. And Elijah bowed his head and said, show my servant what is out there, O God. And he went and he saw above all those armies the angels of the Lord that encampeth around. And he came back in and his whole attitude was changed. Tonight I want to challenge you to start looking up to the hills whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Look up because he's going to bless you coming in. He's going to bless you going out. The sun by day and the moon by night shall not harm you. He never sleeps nor slumbers. Nay, the God of all Israel never sleeps, nor does he slumber. And he will keep your foot from dashing against the stone. You will abide underneath the pinions of the shadow of the Almighty of God, underneath his wing. Pestilence shall not come near your house. The thousand shall fall to your right and 10,000 to your left. They shall fall and you shall walk in victory. Praise God. The Bible declares that he has taken you out of the miry clay and set you upon a rock, a sure foundation, and has rinsed you clean of sin, of embarrassment, of shame, of ridicule, of discouragement. And he has lifted up your head because he is the lifter of our chin and a shield about us. Praise God. And he put a new song in your heart called Praise Ye the Lord. And you, when you sing it, others will hear it and they will know him and fear the Lord your God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. He has healed us. He has made us whole. He has made us something that we could not make into ourselves. And if we'll just walk with him and talk with him and know him, we will see him as he is when he appears to take us back home. Would you just praise him for a moment? Would you just thank him and tell him just who you think he is in your life? What I like about the Lord is that he always did things because he cared. He never did things to have people come chasing after him. As a matter of fact, he tried to stay away from crowds. But because he cared so much, now hear this, this is something I want you to hear in my close tonight. Because he cared so much, people followed after him. The question is tonight, how much do we care? Do we draw people to us, to the Lord in us, because we care? Or are we at arm's length, keeping people from knowing who Jesus is, keeping people from really getting to see Jesus. It reminds me of blind Bartimaeus sitting there, hearing that Jesus was coming, hearing that he was coming by. He heard the talk. He was blind. His father was blind. He had a genetic disease that carried into him from a child. And he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He didn't even know how close Jesus was. He just heard that he was coming by and he began to cry. Listen, when I hear Jesus even near, I begin to pray out. I begin to cry out. I begin to shout out, "Jesus, have mercy." And what did the crowd do? Y'all know the story. You know what I'm about to say, don't you? The crowd said, "Be quiet. Don't bother the master. Shh, don't say anything." He began to cry louder. He shouted louder, and they said, "Be quiet, be quiet." But something caught the ear of Jesus, and he stopped. And he didn't say anything but this: "Call him. Call him." In other words, call the one who has a voice that has reached my heart. Call him to me. Now they changed their mind all of a sudden because Jesus took notice of someone crying out for mercy. And they began to say, "Okay, get up. The master wants to see you." You see, a song always changes when somebody sees God touching your life. There'll always be now those that said, "Be quiet," are going to be wanting to be part of your life because now the master wants to talk to you. The Bible declares he got up. He dropped everything that was in his hands and threw his cloak off. And he began to walk towards Jesus. He was blind, mind you, but he walked towards mercy. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, you and I need to stand up at times in our life. We need to throw off all this world, throw off all this stuff that's all over us, and we need to start to walk towards mercy. Praise God. We may not see clearly where we're headed, but praise the name of the Lord. He found Jesus, and Jesus touched him, and he was healed. He saw for the first time in his life, and the first thing that he saw was Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, the healer of his soul. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just have to drop it. We got to have a voice. I pray for the church again to come back to have a voice. It's not a shame to praise and not a shame to worship and not a shame to say just who we are. Not a church that's controlled by a man in a pulpit that says you can't say this and you can't do that, but a church that's willing to stand and praise God and say, "I've got a need." A church that's willing to say, "I need mercy. I need the Son of David. Have mercy on me," and have that person all of a sudden hear within their heart, "Call him." And to stand and begin to walk no matter what. No matter what the circumstance and no matter what everybody is saying, to walk through. Isn't that what the little widow woman did with the issue of blood? Did she not push through the crowd? She didn't care what they were saying. She pushed through the crowd saying, "He will heal me. He will heal me. He will heal me. Jesus will heal me." That's what happened when you got saved. You believed. You believed that he would save you. You walked from an altar. You came as a sinner and you walked to an altar as a saint. You came to church invited just because someone asked you to come, but you left and you couldn't wait to get back. You had an experience with God. I want to say to you tonight with all my heart, God wants to have an experience with you. God wants to have an experience with you to where he can touch your life emotionally, physically, and spiritually. God wants you to know him in the power of his might, in the beauty of his holiness, and the depth of his mercy.
All God is asking is this of all of us tonight, from this pulpit to everywhere in this building. Would you have faith in God? Would you put your faith where it needs to be? Would you trust God and let Him touch your life and bring you to that place where you can say, here I am. He touched me. You know the old song, He Touched Me? It was a beautiful song we used to sing, and how He touched our life, how He made us whole, how He healed us, and how He went into the depth of our soul and cleansed us. And I want to pray right now that you'll take this in your heart and you'll get a voice and you'll say, God, here I am. Touch me. Heal me. Forgive me. Because I want Jesus more than ever before. You say, Pastor, I'm already saved. You know that. I didn't say you weren't saved. I'm saying that Jesus wants to touch you even deeper now. He wants to take you deeper. This walk with Him isn't a flat line walk. It's an uphill rise. We keep going up with Jesus. We keep getting higher with Him. And we keep getting higher. We keep believing. And we keep seeing more and more and more and more. I remember when I first got saved, I only had a couple stories. Now I got a book full. What chapter are you in tonight? That's the question. Father, in the name of Jesus.